Okay. So first of all, I'd like to thank the organizer for giving me this chance to report some of our recent work on the entanglement dynamics. So we know that the noise is everywhere. So in some sense, the all real quantum system are open. So that's actually the very nice slogan here. So we know the because the noise, so entanglement cannot be preserved, I mean, as we wish they could be. So that's somehow like the disentanglement is both fundamental and technical. For the fundamental, we mean is really in some sense, so decoherence will be there no matter, I mean, how you protect your system. And technical here means, so there's so many different kind of noises. So thermal, non-thermal vacuum, so the phase noise, amplitude noise, so many different kind of noise. So here, actually, I just present some very basic models here. So basically, we only consider the phase noise, which in some sense is the simplest one. So I just give some remarks on some basic things about entanglement. So we know that pure state, so in order to compute or in order to, I mean, whatever, so there are so many measures for pure state. So it's relatively easier. But for mixed state, it's much more difficult. So we know that we have a well-defined measure for mixed state. That's called actually the Wouters concurrence. It's kind of special form of entanglement formation. But in general, you see, it's really difficult issue. And bipartite is relatively easy because here we only have two factors. But multipartite, I mean, conceptually is really difficult because we don't have a single number to measure the entanglement. So we have so many layers there you can consider. Pairwise entanglement, three particle entanglement, four particle entanglement. So many different layers there. And a static here, so of course we can characterize entanglement for some specific time point. So we can, for instance, we know the state is pure, so we can relatively easily compute entanglement. But unfortunately, so if one time evolves, so pure state become mixed state, so things become difficult. And also we know for the noise, so Markov noise is relatively easier because, for instance, so we can easily derive mass equation, so we know how to characterize the entanglement or system evolution because we know the equation of motion. But for non-Markovian noise, things become difficult because we don't have any general guideline to derive a mass equation or something like that. So here, actually, for entanglement dynamics, we have to consider the situation mixed states, and also we have to consider time evolution. So in general, it's a quite a difficult question. So here I just briefly reviewed some basics about entanglement and disentanglement. So of course, so this is the definition, because from this definition, if state can be written in such way, it's called separable. So from this definition, actually we can see why entanglement is difficult quantity, because we can see something about separable, but it's very difficult to say something is entangled. So that's the way, so we use somehow the rather formal definition, of course mathematicians like this one, but for physicists we really prefer something is really concrete, really constructive definition. We can compute them if state is given. So, but that's not the situation, so we have to learn to live with this kind of tricky situation. So fortunately for two qubits, so we have well-defined quantity here discovered by Wouters. So that means an arbitrary two qubit state. So we can in principle compute everything about entanglement, everything. So here if concurrence zero means separable state, otherwise is equal one means maximal entangled state. So if C is in between, so 0 and 1, so that means it's entangled some way, but it's not separable, not maximally entangled. Okay, so that's the just two simple examples. The first one is a pure state, so it's trivial. You see that entanglement can be computed quite easily. So here for mixed state, so of course you can always use numerical simulation to compute entanglement, but for analytical analysis, so this one is tractable. But of course you can find many other examples, but just one of them. Okay, so here actually I just consider very special model for non-Markovian noise, which is called Ornstein-Uhlenbeck noise, which actually in some sense is the simplest non-Markovian noise. You will see that. So the model is called extended cubo model. So it's really we consider entangled web. So you have many qubits there, so they are entangled in some way, and each qubit or some qubits as a subgroup might subject to external noises. So that's the it's very general scenario for this open quantum system. Here, so that's the actually the simplest case. We only consider two qubits here. So two qubits can be affected by noise in several ways. So essentially, we could have either collective noise, which means two qubits coupled to a common reservoir. Here, of course, we are considered a semi-classical model, so it means the noise is modeled by a stochastic process. And also, you can consider this individual noises, which means each qubit has their his own reservoir. So essentially, we have this kind of simple models. So of course, you see for different reservoirs, so we have different dynamics. So in this case, we know we have a subspace, two-dimensional subspace, in which entanglement can be perfectly preserved. Of course, I mean, assume you have this kind of symmetry there. But for this individual noise model, unfortunately, because so two qubits can be distinguished because they have their own reservoir. So in this case, I mean, all entanglement will be destroyed in some way. So I will just show you, I mean, depend on model, so how entanglement evolves under the influence of non-Markovian noise, such as this one, so Ornstein-Uhlenbeck noise. So that's really the mathematical characterization of this model. So here I actually just consider this two qubit case. So we assume the there's no transition between two levels. So you only see the spacing of levels, you see some kind of fluctuation, but there are no transition. So then you have this kind of pure dephasing noise. So here, small f a and f b just classical Ornstein-Uhlenbeck noises. So they satisfy this very general correlation functions. So for both of them. So that's for a, so alpha. Here, of course, we can choose different noise. So here then we have a beta. So then we assume this simply just trivial. So you can always assume this, the mean value are zeros. So we also assume two noise, there's no crosstalk between two noisy sources. So that's actually the crucial, you will see later. So that's the correlation function here actually just, that's the why it's called Ornstein-Uhlenbeck noise. And you will see this one, the reason I choose this one is because it's very easy to see how transition from a non-Markovian regime to Markov regime. Okay, so this just the formal solution of this model, because the pure phase noise in this case, you can solve the model exactly. They commute at different time. So then of course this is the stochastic Schrodinger equation. So you can find out this unitary operator. So because this simple property for the Fn and Fb, so we can of course compute this one explicitly. So that's really the rule. So that's the reduced density matrix by taking the statistical mean over noises. So that's the this one describes the state of two qubit system. And luckily, so for this simple model, actually, we can really, I mean, find out the exact explicit solution of this model. So we can use a cross-operator representation to write down the solution explicitly. So here, actually, we have four cross-operators. So that's the row, that's solution, I mean, for the two qubits. So here, of course, I mean, the difference, I mean, here you can see we have a general function, f of t, big F of t, which is different from Markov case. Because in that case, of course, this one will be proportional to some kind of constant, gamma, typically. So it's called, I mean, that gives us relaxation rate times t. So, but in general, it's just a function of t. So this really we can compute for Ullstein-Wollin back noise. We can compute this explicitly. So that's the final result, which looks, of course, is very nice. It's very simple. So we just exponential here, e to small gamma t. So gamma, small gamma, actually give us the correlation time. So 1 over gamma gives the correlation time. So when you have a large small gamma, then you will have then you see the noise actually very close to Markov regime. So when small gamma goes to infinity, so we recover perfectly Markov noise. So that's the solution. So here, so we just consider two special limits. So the first one is called the Markov limit. So in this case, of course, this one just simplified, becomes like a big gamma t divided by 2. So this just perfect the Markov case. And another one is the short time limit. So here we assume small gamma t less than 1. So in this case, actually we have then big Ft become this, of course, this is a constant times small gamma t squared. So t squared is typical feature for short time limit. Okay, so that's just two very simple limits. So give you this initial state. Then we can see this one, evolution of this one. So here, actually, you can see that non-Markovian product actually prolong the prolong the entanglement time. So here, actually, the time evolution is this axis. So this is the parameters. Of course, you can always assume the big gamma is 1. So then you see the large gamma mean Markov. So one system become, close to Markov, then you will see the entanglement time become shorter and shorter. So this, and here, of course, you can see the two special cases. So this really the exact solution. And this for small gamma means more non-Markovian. So here, of course, the Markov case is really bad. And the short time limit is much better. So, of course, this one is the large gamma, so mean close to Markov. So dotted line is Markov. So you see the Markov give quite a good result for this exact solution. So dashed line is short time limit, of course, for the large gamma. So short time limit is not really good. So here, actually, I just very briefly mentioned this, the n-qubits case, because, as I mentioned, so when we go beyond a two-qubits case, so we don't have any computable measure for entanglement. So here I have to consider something like by using topological argument to show how entanglement evolves and the influence of this phase noise. So actually you can consider this n-qubits case, each of them is coupled to a local noise. So here, of course, there's so many different opportunities. So then the result is for any pre-arranged entanglement state decay and the influence of local thermal noise or phase noise. So they will have this one, either initial state as a pure or as mixed state. So you will see any pre-arranged entanglement will be completely destroyed in the finite time if volume condition is met. I mean, for thermal state, this one is always satisfied for the final state, for the steady state. But for phase noise, so this one has to be assumed. Otherwise, you don't have this condition. You don't have this result. So if you assume this condition, so you have this final state, because finally, you see, for phase noise, the population won't be affected, so they will remain constant. So then you will have this particular picture. So that's basically the reason why for the for this phase noise. So actually, we have two possibilities. So this really the space for the entanglement for all states of two qubits system. So for any entangled state, so there are the two possibilities, the two ways to evolve an entangled state to a separable state. So either into the interior, an interior point, or on the boundary. So if in the interior, so they will be entangled will be destroyed in a finite time. Otherwise, here, so if the final state is on the boundary, so you have two options. Either this way. So approach to this final state steadily, but will take even a long time. And also you could, approach to this final state in such a way, cross the boundary and become separable inside. So in that case, you still have finite time disentanglement. Okay, so this really, just very briefly mentioned this, the entanglement control. So by engineering the reservoir, the noise, so you have a special noise property. So in this case, you can really delay the entanglement, disentanglement, or we can consider minimize noise. So by consider like to couple noise in some way, you have some kind of noise coupler. So either way, so here I will show you that somehow like, so of course if you can control coherence, everything means every element for this dense matrix, then of course you can control this state. But actually you see, you don't need to control everything, you only need to control some of them. So that somehow we are considered this kind of maximal control policy. So now we're just writing up the result of this one. Okay, so that's actually the conclusion. So we have a quantum information science group at Stevens Institute of Technology. So this is the New York City. You see the Empire building. So that Stevens is here. So that's okay. That's my students, and so thanks to NSM and DARPA. Thank you very much for your time.